rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. He has come.
Hi there. I am Mr. Travis, and I'm thankful I get to spend some time with you again today. I get to actually tell you the Bible story today. And normally when we tell the Bible story, it's like maybe one chapter or a few chapters in the Bible. But this time, I'm going to cover a big section of the Bible. So I hope you have your Bibles with you, but we're going to move so fast that I don't think you're going to follow along. But I still want you to open up to where we're going to end. And that's going to be in the New Testament, the book of Luke. And we're starting chapter 1. So most of the story, I don't need you to follow along with, but the last part, you can follow along in Luke chapter 1. So the whole point of the big God story is, do you know why we have the big God story? Well, the big God story helps us understand that God created people, that God loves people, and that He wants to be in relationship with them. So there's a lot of people mentioned in the Bible. People like Adam and Eve. Or, let me see, there was Noah, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, Joseph, and then you have people like Moses, Joshua, and it just keeps going. There are a lot of people mentioned in the Bible. But the point of the Big God story isn't the people that are mentioned. So what's the point of the Big God story? The point is God. All of it points to God. And what does God want us to know? God wants us to know that He loves us, He cares for us, and that He made a way for us to be in relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. So we're going to review really quickly a lot of the Bible with that in mind, how God has prepared for us to receive Jesus. So I have a table laid out before me, and in my basket I have a lot of trinkets, a lot of fun things that we can put on the table to help show the story. And I'm going to start with, let me see, when the Hebrew people left Egypt, they escaped Pharaoh and slavery in Egypt. They went through the Red Sea. They spent time in the wilderness. God gave them the Ten Commandments. And for 40 years, God provided them miracle after miracle, food and water. And it was actually pretty cool to see. And eventually, after the 40 years, they made it to the promised land. A land flowing with milk. And, ooh, what else we got here? Honey. And also in the land, God didn't just stop with milk and honey. Oh, there were fruits, grapes, pomegranates, all kinds of fruits all over the place. The people, that was close, the people had it good in the promised land. This was the land that God promised to give to them. And it was a good time for the people of God to be in relationship with God. They were exactly where they needed to be. But after a while, they actually forgot the very first commandment. Remember on Mount Sinai when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments on two tablets of stone? Do you remember what the first commandment was? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God and follow Him only. Right? You shall have no other gods before me. So what happened? They started following other gods, false gods. The countries around them didn't follow the one true God. And eventually the people of Israel, God's chosen people, started to drift away from following God and started following other gods. This made God mad and sad. His chosen people, He was blessing them so that they could be a blessing to others around them and share the story of God, share in the blessings. And yet the people of God were the ones starting to follow other gods. That's not God's plan. That's not how God wanted it. So God allowed Israel's enemies to attack and sometimes conquer them for a while. So what did God do? Haha, pretend this is a gavel. A judge, right, has a gavel. So God allowed His people to be conquered because they weren't following Him. And finally it got so bad where the people of Israel finally repented. They confessed, God, this is our mistake. We have messed up and we want to follow You again. And in that moment, God gave a judge to Israel. And the purpose of the judge was to help the people escape their enemies and find release and freedom and joy again, happiness. But after the judge had died, it happened all over again. The people eventually stopped following God. God allowed enemies to attack Israel. After a while, Israel's finally like, okay, we messed up. We can't keep doing this. God raised up another judge. This happened. They had 12 different judges over about 400 years. And some of the judges you probably remember, people like Gideon or Samson. There's even a girl judge, Deborah. That's pretty cool. And the last judge, Samuel. But finally, after hundreds of years of having judges, the people of Israel said, we've had enough. They're looking around to the countries around them and saying, they have a king, they have a king, they have a king. Why don't we have a king? We want a king. And so they begged God, God, give us a king. We want a king. And God is sitting there in heaven like, I've been your king this whole time. What are you asking for a king for? And they're like, well, we want a human king. Okay, we'll try that. God gave them, now we start the period of the kings. So Saul was the very first king. And he was actually chosen because he was tall. It didn't matter what his heart was like. It mattered how tall he was. Like, seriously? Okay. After Saul, there was King David, who was called a man after God's own heart, the very same David that killed Goliath the giant. And David followed God with his whole heart. And that pleased God. God gave David a special promise, a covenant, that the Messiah, the Savior of the world, would come through David's family line, a king that would reign forever. That's a pretty cool promise. After David came his son Solomon, and Solomon was a pretty wise guy. Well, he started off great. He started off by building the temple to God. Beautiful, right? Magnificent. But after a while, towards the end of Solomon's life, it wasn't so good. He started following other gods. And you know what? There were lots of kings after that, and most of them were bad. Most of the kings of Israel, instead of pointing the people to God, they were having the people follow other gods, false gods. And again, that made God mad and sad. His chosen people chose not to follow him, and all he wants to do is bless them, be in relationship with them. So finally, God had enough, and he allowed Israel's enemies to conquer them and take them captive. So they're actually out of the promised land now. They no longer have their temple. They're no longer in the land flowing with milk and honey. And they're scattered. Different countries have taken captive different parts of Israel. This is a hard time for the people of Israel. Some of them had to change names. The customs were different now. They're living in a different country, maybe speaking a different language. It was probably the hardest time to continue to follow God. But God still loved his people. He still cared for them. He wanted to be in relationship with them, and he wanted to restore it back to the way it should be. So God brought about the prophets. He brought many prophets to speak and to teach the people of God, to help them understand that, you know, the reason you're out of the promised land right now is because you weren't following God. God still has a good plan for you, but you need to follow God and trust him. The prophets encouraged them and spoke of a day where everything would be made right again, peace and joy back in the promised land. Then, I forgot one prop, chains. They were captive in other countries. All right, after the time of the prophets, then God did something that no one saw coming. He was silent. For 400 years, God didn't use judges. He didn't use kings. He didn't speak through prophets or through angels. We don't have any records of miracles during 400 years. So we call these years the silent years. God still cared about his people. God was just waiting for the right time to make a way for people to follow the Messiah, waiting for the right time for the Messiah to come to earth, to save his people. So finally, after 400 years, that time came. So now We're in the book of Luke, chapter 1. God broke the silence by speaking to an angel to give a message to Zechariah. Now, Zechariah was a priest in Israel, so he followed God closely, did the best he could. He was married to Elizabeth, and they were pretty old. Let's listen to what the angel says to Zechariah in Luke chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 8. It says, when Zechariah's division was on duty, he was serving as priest before God. It happened that he was chosen by lot, and that just means by chance, right? They're probably flipping a coin saying, are you going to go in or am I going to go in? And it fell to Zechariah. It was his time to go. He was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, and he was supposed to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. At the hour of incense, the whole assembly of the people, they were praying outside. An angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right of the altar of incense, and when Zechariah saw him, he was startled, he was shocked, and overcome with fear. But the angel said to him, don't be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You will name him John, and there will be joy and delight for you, and many people will rejoice in his birth. So what do you think the priest, Zechariah, did at this point? God broke the silence of 400 years by speaking to him. Well, it might shock you, but he didn't believe it. The priest Zechariah is like, there's no way. My wife and I are too old. Like, I wish this was true, but I just don't see it happening. So what did the angel say to Zechariah in verse 19 and 20? The angel answered him, I am Gabriel, who stands in front of the presence of God, and God sent me to speak to you and tell you the good news. Now listen, you will become silent, unable to speak until the boy is born, because you did not believe the words from God. Wow. And that's exactly what happened. Zechariah couldn't speak until his son was born. And about a year later, he was born. They named him John. And he ended up becoming a great prophet, the first prophet in 400 years. And the point of John the Baptist's life was to turn people's hearts and minds back to God, to prepare the way for the Messiah, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. So I hope you see that we covered a lot of the Bible, right? A lot of the Old Testament, starting into the New Testament, just about when Jesus is born. And I hope you see that God really does care for his people. He loves them. He has a good plan for them. But they also need to follow him. You can't be divided. Sometimes I follow God, and sometimes I decide to worship and follow other things. It's all or nothing. Are you following God with your whole life? As we move into responding to God, I want to ask you a simple question. How has God prepared your heart to receive Jesus? What maybe conversations with friends or family? What situations or events in your life, what has caused you to draw near to God? How has God prepared your heart to receive the Messiah, the Savior of the world? And have you? So I want you to take some quiet time right now and think about that. Truly, close your eyes, remove all distractions, and just think about how God has worked in your life. And then when you're done with quiet time, I want you to take a blank piece of paper, maybe get some crayons or some markers, and either write out or draw with pictures some of the things that came to mind during your quiet time. How has God prepared your heart to receive Jesus? So take time now, start with quiet time, and then you can end respond time with the drawings and coloring. Thank you. Thank you for taking time to just be with God, to hear from Him, and remind yourself of all that God is doing in your life, how much He is reaching out, wanting to be in relationship with you. I have a couple verses I wanted to read. It's from Isaiah chapter 40. It starts in verse 3. And this is speaking about John the Baptist's life. This is Isaiah. This is Old Testament. But John the Baptist wasn't born until the New Testament. So this is a prophecy before he was even born. Let's read what it says. Starting verse 3, a voice of one crying out, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight a highway for our God in the desert. Every valley will be lifted up, every mountain and hill will be leveled. The uneven ground will become smooth and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord will appear, and all humanity shall see it together. I look forward to that day. All people looking to God, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now for the blessing time, I want to pray a blessing over you. So right now, where you're at, can you just put your hands out in a posture of receiving this blessing? All right. God has prepared a way for you to know Him. And may you know the depths of His love, and may you go out and share God's love wherever you go. God, thank you for this quick story that we've had, a glimpse of the big God story of how much you care for people, all the things you've done to be in relationship with people. May we humbly submit and seek to be in relationship with you. God, please bless us this week. Keep us healthy and safe. Let this blessing not stop with us, but overflow to those around us who also need you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for spending time with us today. I hope you learned a little something, and I hope you have a great day.